Well, good morning, everybody. Whoa. The voice of the Lord thundered. Great to be here with you. I always, I'm in awe of the goodness of God in bringing us all the way from St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada, to Alberta, and then Pastor Dwayne, sight unseen, invites me to preach here. So he can tell he and Judy are great people of faith. And so it's a great honor to be able to come and minister at a church that is not my own, and I'm not pastoring anymore, but the good news is he's actually here listening to every word. So if I say anything that is out of line or heretical, he'll correct you next week, okay? Or he'll correct what I said next week, all right? But I appreciate your confidence in me. We're just getting to know them. We had a meal together, and nothing like having some food and getting to know one another. So praise God for that. Well, this morning, before I really get going into, what the Lord wanted me to share with you, I felt like the Lord wanted to do some ministry first. And so the way God often tells me who I need to minister to is by giving me clues. And so today's clue is the number 23. Does the number 23 mean anything to anybody other than the 23rd Psalm? So don't say that's my favorite Psalm, because then I'll be ministering to 27 people. Okay. What does the number 23 mean to you, ma'am?
My daughter's birthday is on the 23rd
of October. 23rd of October, okay, great. Anybody else?
On 23rd of March.
Okay, so there's some significance to that. Anybody else? Another birthday on the 23rd? Okay, all right. Did I miss anybody else? Would it be okay? Oh, awesome. Okay, so God did have your number. Okay, now is it okay if I pray for each and every one of you? Would it be okay if you actually just came to the front so I can make some eye contact and maybe even lay hands on you if the Lord so leads? Can all of you who raised your hands up for number 23 just come up and maybe sit in the front row for now, and I'll just come by every one of you and just see if the Lord has something special to release to you. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord. Okay, thank you, Lord. All right, so what is your name?
Deborah.
Deborah, okay. So church, I want you to engage, with me and with the Holy Spirit as we minister. So just stretch your hands towards each and every one of these folks as we pray. So Lord, we thank you for Deborah. We thank you for the ways in which you have brought her along. I just feel like, you've been on some very winding paths to get to where you are right now. But the Lord has been good. He's been gracious. And I sense that if there's any kind of uncertainty, anxiety about what you are, where you're going or what you're facing in the days ahead, the Lord says, even as I was with you back then, I'm going to be with you now as well in the future. There's also a concern on your heart for a certain member of your family that does not know the Lord. And the Lord says, I have heard your cry. I have seen your tears. And I will answer in the most miraculous way, even by the end of this year, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And your name?
Louise?
Okay, Lord, let's stretch out your hands towards Louise. Okay, come on, church, engage with me. You can pray in tongues if you'd like, and just stay active. Stay active in the Spirit as well. So, Lord, I thank you for Louise, and thank you for the way in which you have nurtured her. Lord, she has experienced you, more as a mother than as a father figure in her life, because you've been there for her in those moments when she needed to be embraced, when she needed to be reassured, when she needed to know that she will be taken care of. And Lord, I thank you for that mothering anointing that rests upon her even now, that just as you have embraced her, she is eager to embrace others and to welcome them and into the fold. And so I just bless you, Louise, even now as I lay hands on you, that anointing will increase upon you, that many, many will look up to you as a mother. Many will be your daughters in the faith, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And your name?
Christine.
Sorry?
Christine.
Christine, okay. All right. Well, Lord, we thank you for Christine. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you have already deposited into her. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I just feel like, Christine, you have a healing anointing on you. Because the moment I touched your hands, my hand got hot, and I feel your hand is getting hot as well. And so, Lord, today I ask that you will increase that anointing that is upon her, that even as she lay hands on the sick, as you said she would see them recover in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And your name?
Stephanie.
All right. Lord, let's stretch our hands towards Stephanie. Come on, church, engage, engage. Okay. Pray in tongues. Okay. Lord, thank you for Stephanie. Lord, thank you for the kind-hearted person that she is, that she reflects your kindness. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says it is the kindness of God that leads to repentance, and I sense that God is using that kindness that you carry to draw others unto him. You know, not to shout at people, not to condemn them, but to warmly embrace them where they are and to then love them into the kingdom. I believe that is your hallmark. And so, Lord, even now as I lay hands on her, I pray that you will increase that anointing upon her. And Lord, I thank you that wherever she goes, people are drawn to her like a magnet, because that kindness is so evident in just her mannerism, and you are using that as a way to bring wayward souls into the kingdom. And you know, I feel like the Lord wanting me to say to you that there are even members of your family who have been observing you, who have seemed like they're hard-hearted, but God is melting their hearts because they see a transformation in you and the way in which you exude his kindness, even in the way that you treat other members of the family, the ones that others may be shunned, but you always reach out to them, you make them feel included, and the Lord honors that. And so I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you are?
Nicole,
yes. Were you at the camp?
I was.
Okay, there you go. Okay, all right. That's why you look so familiar. Yeah. Well, Lord, we thank you for Nicole, and I thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for, you know, I just sense, Nicole, you're a mighty woman of prayer. You're a warrior. You're an intercessor. You have stood in the gap for so many and for so many years. And the Lord wants me to honor your faithfulness and your prayers, you know, just like Cornelius' prayers. You know, they ascended to heaven, and the Lord has seen them. And I feel like even on top of your prayers, that you're giving. That's what Peter told Cornelius, you know, your alms and your prayers. And so the Lord is honoring, the Lord is rewarding in an incredible way. I feel like in the next 3 months, there's going to be a surprise awaiting you. And it is the Lord's pleasure in your faithfulness, in intercession, and in giving will be rewarded in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. And you are?
Penny.
All right. Lord, thank you for Penny. Come on, church. Be with me. Come with me. Pray with me. Thank you, Lord. 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 Penny, I feel like, you know, there's been some prayers that you've been offering for many, many years that didn't look like, you know, they have been answered. They still don't look like they have been answered. But again, the Lord wants me to say to you that there are answers being released. The answers have already been released. There are some lives being changed. They just don't want to show it quite yet. But your faithfulness in prayer, your persistence in prayer, Luke 18:1 about the widow who just kept on persisting and would not give up. And the Lord says, you have been beating down the doors of heaven with your persistent prayer. And the Lord is honoring it. And you too will see when I said that, I felt like the Lord was showing, there's a crack in the door. The door doesn't open all wide at once, but there's a crack in the door. The armor, I believe that the Lord has pierced through an armor that people have put up of resistance, and you will indeed see your prayers answered in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I just felt like, you know, there are many others here who have members of your family or people you know who are, you know, who we might call prodigals, people who have gone away from the Lord. Does anybody have anyone like that in mind? Or are we all perfect? Our families are perfect. We don't have anybody that meets us. If you have somebody in that, I just feel an anointing on that right now. So if you have someone that you are praying for as a prodigal, can you guys quickly stand up where you are? And just let's just all come into agreement in prayer. Yeah, we have one in our family too. So this is a personal thing for us as well. So even as I'm beginning to pray, just think of that person. Picture them in their face in front of you, and Lord, I thank you that it is your desire that none shall perish and all shall come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, even as each and every one that is standing here is seeing that person that they so long to see in the kingdom, they don't want to get to heaven and not see that person there. That's the desire of their heart. And so, Lord, we all come into agreement with one another because it is your will, and you are honoring that prayer. You are answering that prayer. You are honoring that desire of the heart because it is the desire of your heart. And so, Lord, I pray that even as you have said in your word, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will release his laborers into the harvest. We ask that you will release to each and every one that we are picturing right now the laborer who you will use to bring them into the harvest. Because we've talked to them, we've persuaded them, they have not been listening. But Lord, there is a laborer. There are laborers with a specific assignment for these ones that we are praying for today. And we thank you that as we come into agreement, Matthew 18:19, when two of you agree on earth about anything at all, it shall be done for you by my Father in heaven. And we thank you that that promise is being fulfilled this day, that this Christmas, the family tables will be very different from the way they were last time. That this Christmas, those who would never come to church will want to come to church with the ones that are standing here. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. All right. The Lord's not finished yet. I think there's some more ministry left. You can go back to your seats. Thank you very much for coming. This is going to be kind of an awkward word that the Lord gave me. The Lord said, ask who is here for the first time and pray for them. And I know you're going to get singled out. Sir, would you mind coming up? Is that okay with you? And I can pray for you? Wow. God set you up, didn't he? What is your name?
Williams.
Williams?
Yes.
All right, okay. So let's stretch our hands towards Williams and let's just ask the Lord. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Williams. Thank you for bringing him here today. And Williams, what the Lord told me when he gave me this word is that you are an evangelist at heart, that the Lord has used you in small ways and in mighty ways to bring people into the kingdom. And I, you know, again, I'm not totally sure, you know, what brought you here this morning, but I feel like God wants to continue to use you in that role, that ministry, that gifting, and to release that heart of the Father into this community or wherever you live right now. And Lord, come on, folks, stretch our hands towards him. Let's stretch our hands towards him. Come on, engage. I just feel like something is happening here. The doors that have not been opened for you until now, I declare and decree in Jesus' name that they are opening right now. And first, church, let's come into agreement with a big amen. Amen. Let's hear the amens. All right. And Lord, I thank you that I feel like there are some other people that need to join you. I'm not sure it's members of your family or who it is. But we call them forth. And we call forth all the clearances, all the signatures, all the paperwork that needs to be done, that it be expedited, that there will be an acceleration of what you have been expecting to happen, because it will be supernatural. When people hear about how quickly it happened, you, again, the evangelist will kick in and say, this is the Lord. Let me tell you about my Jesus and what he has done for me, he will do for you as well. So Holy Spirit, even right now, as I lay hands on this man of God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I ask that you will increase that anointing upon him. And not only will he face open doors, but Lord, that you will use him to help others also have open doors to receive the gospel first and then to become citizens of the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Right. You're welcome. God bless you. Okay. Moving along. Lord, what else do you want me to do? Okay, all right. Is anybody here sitting today with some kind of a healing need in your body? Or are we a really healthy church here? Nobody's got a healing need? Put your hand up if you have any kind of healing need. Okay. Again, can I just have you stand up where you are? You don't need to come up. Just stand up where you are. Okay. And we're going to make a healing declaration together. Rohan, did you get the slide? Yeah, okay. Can you put that slide up? Okay. All right. So, see, we don't have to strive for healing. Jesus already paid the price for our healing, you know, by the stripes that he received. That's what the scripture says. And in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus quotes Isaiah 53. Matthew, writing about Jesus' healing, says, this all happened to fulfill what Isaiah wrote, which is that by his stripes, you know, we are healed. And so I just want you to make this declaration in faith right now. And I feel like some of you haven't stood up, but you still have some stuff to deal with physically. If that is you, don't be bashful about it, but just make this declaration together. All right, so let's make this declaration. My healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done. By his stripes, I am healed. I receive my healing now in Jesus' name. So friends, if we really believe that Jesus is the healer yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and if we made this declaration so that I receive his healing now, some of you will actually begin to see some evidence of that. So if you had any kind of pain in your body when you walked in here, any kind of discomfort, then check yourself right now. And what I mean by check yourself right now, if there's something you would do that would normally cause pain, do that same, maybe it's a motion with a frozen shoulder, or if it's your knees, just kind of bend them a little bit and see if there's anything different. I'm sensing something about the soles of your feet. I feel like somebody's got some pain in the soles of your feet. And if that's it, just stomp a couple of times and see if there's a change from the way it was when you came here. Is anybody noticing a change? If you're noticing any kind of a change, just wave your hand, and because it's for Jesus' sake, right? We want to thank the Lord for what he's doing. So are you noticing some kind of a change? Yeah? What's the change? Okay, here, let's the whole church hear the testimony.
In my shoulder and my bones, I would have a clicking sound. And you don't hear it.
Yeah. I'm moving the microphone as close as possible.
And I have a hard time lifting my arm over my shoulder from an injury from a long time ago. So I can move it without it clicking right now.
Oh, praise God. Give Jesus a hand. Anybody else notice a change in your physical condition or pain? Anybody else? Okay, you know what? When Jesus moves on someone and releases healing, then the Bible says that the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. What does that mean? That what he did for him now becomes a prophecy for anyone else that needs healing. So if you need healing right now, just take it, okay? So we're going to do this one more time. We're going to make this declaration one more time together. All right, so just repeat. Read together. My healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done. By his stripes, I am healed. I receive my healing now. Amen. Okay, check once again. Check once again, those of you who are standing or had an issue, to see if there's any change since we made the declaration a second time. If you notice a change the second time, just again wave. Let's give the Lord glory for what he's doing. And you know what? And if you didn't notice any change, or some of you may have conditions that you cannot notice any change visibly or perceptibly right now, that's okay. Because when Jesus healed the lepers, it said they were healed on the way. Yeah. They didn't get their healing instantly, but they were healed on the way. And some of you will be healed on the way. Just take a picture of that and make this declaration over and over again until your healing manifests in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. Now, how many of you have someone on your heart right now that needs healing? Someone in your family, friendship, circles, workplace? Okay. So we're going to make a declaration over them right now using the same words. We're just going to modify it slightly, and we're going to say their name and say, your healing belongs to you because of what Jesus has done. By his stripes, you are healed. Receive your healing now in Jesus' name. Shall we do that? Okay, so I'm just going to give you 5 seconds to repeat the names of the people that God's got on your heart right now. And now let's declare, your healing belongs to you because of what Jesus has done. By his stripes, you are healed. Receive your healing now in Jesus' name. You know what else you can do? You can take a picture of that and send it to the person that God just placed on your heart and say, hey, can you make this declaration of faith on your own? because God is doing something right now in church, and He wants to do that for you as well. Okay, let's give Jesus a hand for what He's already doing. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Okay, now I think I'm ready to preach. Okay. Well, you know, first of all, I guess before we go too far into it, we just got to tell you a little bit about who we are. So, Rohan, you can put up the first slide. So, Jeevan, Slojana, Sam, we tend to get called the Sams a lot because sometimes the names are not the easiest to pronounce, right? And so, especially Slojana, okay? I was just joking with the people at camp. If you can pronounce some of the Ukrainian names around here, you should be able to say Slojana, no problem. I was telling them about my friend Steve Kasianenko, and his name gets mauled all over the place by everybody. So it's not the tough name to pronounce. So Jeeva and Slojana Sam, and we are authors of The Unbreakable Marriage, and the book actually came out of a mentorship process that the Lord gave us to take couples who were very close to giving up on their marriage, maybe two steps from divorce court, or knowing that they're headed that way if they didn't do something right away, and to get them back on track with a very, very short time, quite often in 10 weeks. And we, the Lord's revelation got us to a point where we could actually offer a money-back guarantee. That if you put, you know, 10, 20, 100,000 into the process, just kidding, okay, and you didn't get the results, you will get the money back, okay? So that's how, it's not our confidence, it's really the Lord gets the glory because it was His revelation that makes it happen. And so so we live in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada, and if you want to connect with us, you can go to our website. If your marriage is in a place where you need that restoration, or you know somebody else, you know, who's desperately seeking a way, they know that they should not get divorced because that's not the right thing to do, but they also are desperate. We've tried everything, nothing is working. Well, as a last resort, they can contact the SAMS. And so on the website, there's actually our calendar is available there. People can book an appointment. We will meet with them, give a free consultation, and do our best to see how we can help them. Now, next slide, Rohan. So in the Indian tradition, whenever you go to a new place, you got to bring gifts. Isn't that true? Yeah. Like when we invite Indians to come sometimes to our house, sometimes they're late. How come it took you so long? Well, we had to stop at Walmart and pick up some chocolates for you. So if you click on that QR code, it'll take you to a page on our website where there's all sorts of goodies you can download. A lot of them are part of our book as well, but there'll be some things there that you can use maybe right away or later. As Pastor Duane said, we do have a very limited supply of our book. And it's out on a table there. Now, one of the things I want to point out to you when you go out there is that, let's put the next slide up there. I think it's better to do it from the slide. Okay. So the book is $25, no tax, bundle, which is our workbook, gratitude journal, and the book. And we are offering something called an assessment and feedback session. It's really to assess the health of your marriage, no matter where you're at in your marriage. Just starting out, maybe even considering marriage, or you're engaged and you're about to get married, you know, or you've been married for a while. We would go and get a physical checkup from time to time. I think in Ontario, the government pays for one per year. So do a health assessment of your marriage and a feedback session. Normally, it's actually, we charge a lot more, but because we're here, we wanted to, you know, give you a break on the price, a few hundred dollars cheaper than what it is. So if you want any of these services, and also we have an e-course. If you can order the e-course from our website, but it's priced in U.S. dollars. So if you want to save about 140%, or whatever the exchange rate is these days, then you just have to click on that QR code, and that'll give you the special deal as well. Okay. I think I've got all the commercials out of the way. So let's tell you a little bit about who we are. And so that, if you saw us on the street, you wouldn't recognize us. But that's what happened on August 18th, 1983. Slojan and I, we were brought together by our parents in an arranged marriage, and which basically means that God arranged the marriage, but He worked through a marriage broker and our parents. and introduced us to each other. And so a lot of times in the Indian culture, you know, because we trust our parents' judgment so much, we never question their choice because they've done all the vetting, you know, and this was even before the internet, before you could go and read somebody's Facebook posts and see what their character is and all that kind of stuff. And so our parents did all that work for us and then said, hey, guys, we believe you're a good match for each other, so can we arrange your marriage? And so so I'm like, well, I'd like to talk to her first before we get married. And her dad was, no, you won't. If I put you both guys in the same room and you say no, then that's shame on my family. We can't do that. Anyway, they did some hard negotiating, and he really wanted me to marry her. So he relented. Isn't that true? Yeah. he relented and allowed us to have a... so at that stage, so this is 1983, we probably had the longest courtship in Indian history at that point, which was a full 15 minutes long. Yeah, let that sink in. Would you marry somebody after meeting them for 15 minutes? You barely exchange vital details at that point, right? So we just had the confidence that this is of the Lord, so let's get married. And so next month we'll be celebrating our 41st anniversary. I know we don't look that old to have 41 years of marriage. So the next picture will show you where we are. Last October, we became grandparents, and that's our little guy, little grandson, Judah Daniel. I think the Lord's setting him up to be a worship leader already, like his parents are. And that's the rest of our gang. As you can tell, we're a bit of a crazy family. Everybody likes to have fun. So we have a daughter who's actually turning 40 around Christmas time this year, and then two sons and lovely daughters-in-law. All residing fairly close to each other. So we're grateful to God for the blessing of family. All right. So now that you know a little bit about us, then let me just get into what the Lord wanted me to share with you today. Okay. So friends, what I'm going to share today is in some ways comes out of our experience of marriage, out of working with couples in marriage, but really it applies beyond marriage. It really applies to all of our lives. And so a number of years ago, we had a friend, a family that we're very close to, and they had a son who was suffering really, really badly from allergies. And they poked and prodded him and tried to find out what was wrong with him and so on. And they were not getting too far. And then all of a sudden, somebody asked them one day, are you guys living in one of those new homes in this subdivision? And they said, yeah. They said, you know what? They used a particular insulation. I think it may have been R300. Don't quote me on that. But some kind of an insulation that they used. And what that insulation, the insulation is so good that it traps everything inside the house. And so they had done studies, or they were beginning to do studies, and found out that the pollution inside some of those homes was worse than the pollution outside. And this was in Regina. Okay, so Regina has a co-op refinery. So we lived in Saskatchewan for 20 years, by the way. So we are ex-Westerners, okay? And that's why I don't get offended when somebody calls me an Easterner, because I called all them folks from Ontario Easterners for 20 years, right? And so here they are living in a place where their son is now experiencing the effects of all the allergies, all the pollutants, all the pollen that stayed inside the house. And of course, as soon as they got that revelation, all they had to do was to invest in a reputable company manufactured air cleaner, and within a matter of days, the little boy did not have any more asthma-like symptoms and all the things that came with those allergies. You know, there's an analogy here that I want to share with you. The analogy is that most often when couples come to us for our marriage mentorship, so they want to know how to get things back on track. But the Lord showed us, you know what? Before you can teach them anything, you have to make sure that the atmosphere in which they are living and growing their marriage is not toxic. And how many of us often, you know, we talk about, oh, I had to get out of there because that was a toxic work environment. Anybody ever say that? You know that after a while, when there's so much negativity, you know, in the air. You know, when there's lots of, you know, jealousy and envy and, you know, petty quarrels that are not resolved and so on, those are like toxins that pollute the atmosphere, and that can happen in a marriage. You know, after a while, you know, if you always keep on putting each other down, you're bickering a lot, you're not forgiving each other once in a while, and so that will actually prevent organic growth in your marriage. And so and I just got to tell you, I'm not selling a device today that you can take you to your home and it'll clean the atmosphere. All the toxins will be gone spiritually. Okay? No. And that's not a service we offer either. Okay? Even though you can do some house cleaning, spiritual house cleaning, that's a very good thing to do. However, the Lord's told us that what you need to do, first of all, and this is true of marriage, this is true of your family, your work environment, your church environment, is you have to make sure that where you live, where you continue to do what God has called you to do, is an atmosphere that is hospitable to the Holy Spirit. Where can the Holy Spirit work in a toxic environment? Absolutely. But we give the Holy Spirit greater freedom to move. We can actually restrict the Holy Spirit when we have too much toxicity in the air. Okay. Actually, I forgot to say something else, Pastor Duane and Judy. The Holy Spirit just gave me a... the Lord said that Bethel, he sees it as a house of hospitality. And, I mean, we could sense that walking in today. You know, there was such a warmth, you know, in everybody, you know, in welcoming us. And I'm sure our brother who's here for the first time will tell you that he experienced that as well, which you don't find in all churches. And so you have cultivated. But the reason that we experience that hospitality as newcomers here is because you have made this a place that is hospitable for the Holy Spirit. So he loves to stay here, not just come once in a while for a visit and say, I'm going to go and visit a few other churches and then come back to you. No. He is making his habitation here. And so your openness and your willingness to have the Holy Spirit be here all the time is now extending out, and new people who come will sense something. People may have already said this to you. We just love coming to your church because there's something there. Well, it's the hospitality of the Holy Spirit. But then the Lord parsed that word hospitality and made the word hospital stand out. And so what the Lord said is that Bethel is also a house, it's like a hospital, a place of healing, where people who are broken, whether it's in their body, whether it's in their souls, in their spirits, can come, and they will receive healing. And so the hospitality, this is a place of healing as well. So if everybody in Bethel receives that word, can you say amen? 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 All right. Yeah. So I just want to, let me just pray. The Holy Spirit keeps interrupting here. Thank you, Lord. So Lord, we thank you for that word. In a way, I felt the Lord saying this is actually a confirmation of what they already know. You're just giving it a little bit of a different language than what they may have heard. And so Lord, I thank you that this house has been standing strong, and this couple have been shepherding and stewarding what you have entrusted to them faithfully for, I believe you said 29 years. And Lord, we thank you that you are honoring what they have been doing. And I feel like the Lord saying that he's going to strategically bring in people who need that hospitality because the other thing the Lord said is when people go to a hospital, it is not one person that ministers to them or meets their needs. There's a lot of people, nurses, doctors, all sorts of therapists who are all equipped to meet their needs. And that is your heart. You have been raising up others who can also minister to those who brings in here who need that healing and even sometimes just the bandaging of the wounds that they have. And the Lord also said, just as in a hospital, some people will be there just for one visit. Some people will be there for a short time. And some people are long-term care residents that you've already seen that dynamic very likely in 29 years. But when that happens, remember that you fulfill your assignment. You fulfill the mission that God has entrusted you with, and you are found faithful I bless you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ooh. Where was I? Okay. So, when you want the Holy Spirit to be welcome, you know, in your dwelling, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your family, wherever it may be, then the easiest way to shift the spiritual atmosphere in your marriage is by actually practicing some habits on a regular basis. Now, in the marriage mentorship, we teach couples to practice some of these things on a daily basis, and I can't cover all of them. They're in the book, and by the way, the book is also available on Amazon. If you're not able to pick one up today, then you can still get it from there on Kindle or the printed version. So the number one habit that we have found to be most effective in removing toxins is to, and this the reason this habit works is because all those toxins are overwhelmed by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so how do we make the Holy Spirit welcome in those atmospheres? Well, a number of years ago, when Surajan and I started connecting with what is now known as Catch the Fire Toronto, some people know that as the site of the Toronto Blessing, Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship, all those names, John and Carol Arnott, the leaders of the founders of that church, started teaching us a spiritual discipline called soaking in the Spirit. So it's not soaking in your heart tub, it's soaking in the Spirit. And all that simply means is you lay yourself still, you put yourself in a relaxing position, and you say, Holy Spirit, come. Now, if you can do it without music, awesome. But many of us find that we need some help with some quiet, soft, instrumental music playing in the background, so to keep us in that place of stillness. So today, if you want to go on YouTube and you do a search for soaking instrumental music, you know, you'll have enough to do about 10,000 hours of it. Okay, there's lots available there. Okay, in our day, when we first got introduced to it, we had to buy CDs and then had to wear them out because there's only a few available. So, but what, here's what happens. The whole idea of soaking is you do nothing and you just allow the Holy Spirit to have his way with you, to do whatever he wants to do at a very deep level in your being, and he can make changes in you that you cannot make yourself in, you know, by just simply willing it, or sometimes even by working really hard, because the changes deep inside our heart are not something that we take care of. You know, like we can transplant a heart, but only God can transform a heart. And so we need the Holy Spirit's power to work, and you have to give him that unrestricted access. You know, Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Now the word know in that particular instance is not head knowledge. It is knowing at an intimate level. It's the same word that is used in the Old Testament to describe the relationship between a husband and a wife. You know, when Abraham knew Sarah and they had a baby boy. Well, that didn't mean, you know, he got her name and number and they had a baby boy. They had to get intimate. That knowledge was an intimate knowing that resulted in a child being born. And that's what Jesus said, you know, in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Friends, we cannot manufacture fruit on our own. And if the fruit of the Spirit is going to be manifest in our lives, then we need to allow Jesus, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to produce that fruit in us. Which, what is the fruit? You know, I mean, it's got nine characteristics. But what it essentially saying is that you're going to be more like Jesus. So this is the way. And so in the context of marriage, for example, if both husband and wife become like Jesus, then what would that marriage look like? What would your marriage look like? If every morning you woke up and you saw Jesus in the face of your spouse, or every night before you went to bed, it's like, ah, thank you, Lord, for giving me a Christ-like spouse, husband, wife. See, that is the desire of Jesus' heart, is for all of us to grow more and more in his likeness, and this is one of the most powerful ways in which this actually happens. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you a quick story. When I first heard about this, in the beginning, I thought it sounded a little woo-woo to me. And I wasn't raised in the Pentecostal tradition. So I was kind of a newcomer. By the way, I pastored 34 plus years in the United Church of Canada, if you can believe it. But I survived. And mainly by pastoring churches that were at least mildly evangelical. Okay, the Lord orchestrated that. And so this was like, you know, as a matter of fact, I came to Salojan and I said, hey, I learned this thing called soaking. And she said, show me words from the Bible. I said, well, the word soaking is not in the Bible, honey. Okay, in that case, you do it, I'm not. Okay, so we've had this conversation. Now, by the grace of God, she eventually saw the light and saw the way that things really were. And now, actually, there are times when she will spend more time soaking than even I do. And so I started soaking for a while. And, you know, one day, we had the two boys at home at the time. You know, we were driving along in St. Catharines and came to an intersection. And as I made a turn, this driver cut me off. And so, you know, I just kept on going. And the boy said, Dad, you didn't get mad. And I thought, hark, I didn't get mad. Now, I've never had road rage, but I've had road upset a few times, okay? And so I'm thinking, what change did I make? Because normally something would have come out of my mouth, and some of those words may or may not have made their way into Scripture. And so the boys were like, Dad didn't get mad. Something's wrong with him. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, it's because you've been spending much time in my presence. You see, he had made a change deep down inside of me that even I didn't realize. It's a little bit like, this is a kind of an odd analogy for a man with brown skin to say, but it's a little bit like spending time in the sun. You know, now some of you sun worshipers, tan seekers, okay? What do you do to get a tan? You just put yourself in the presence of the sun, sun. Well, and then sometimes you don't even realize, you know, your coloring has changed until somebody looks at you, been to the beach, have we? Or in the middle of January. So, was it Mexico or was it Jamaica? Because they can tell that you came back with something you didn't have before and you didn't do anything. You just found a place, you just lay down, and you didn't even say, sun, have your way with me, right? The sun just had its way with you. And so that's how powerful this is. And actually, Carol Arnott, who taught this much to us, said it's a little bit like a cucumber being turned into a dill pickle. What does the cucumber do? Absolutely nothing. It just gets marinated in that brine and the transformation happens. And so one of the reasons why this is the number one habit that we teach our couples is because if you are always operating from a place of strife, whether it's in your marriage or your workplace or anywhere else, then you know you're gonna do some things you will regret later. But if you operate from a place of peace, and it's the peace of Christ that is already inside of you, see, when the peace of Christ is in you, guess what you're gonna do? You're gonna let that peace come out of you. And so that's why this is the number one habit we teach. Okay, I'm just going to cover a few habits. The second one, not in the order in the book that the Lord wanted me to share this morning, is gratitude. You know, being grateful for what the Lord has already given us. And again, why is this an atmosphere shifter? Psalm 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his holy name. You know what this psalm seems to say to us is that when we express our gratitude to God, the doors are opened for us to enter into his presence. That's how powerful gratitude is. And today, if you go and Google just benefits of gratitude, there's all sorts of research, you know, being done, not by church people, but universities, to prove the power of gratitude. And so one of the habits that we teach our couples, which you know you can also take to heart, is keep a gratitude journal. And every day, whether it's the beginning of the day or the end of the day, write something you're grateful for that day, all in one journal, all in one book. You know, I mean, it could be an electronic journal, it could be something you write with your hand. Now, if you are married, there's a second thing that you need to write in that journal. The second entry in your journal is, what am I grateful for my spouse today? And there will be days when it's like, I can't think of one thing that I'm grateful for today. After the way that she talked to me today. after the way he ignored me today. Okay, if that's the case, say, Holy Spirit, take me back to my courting days. Take me back to those early days of marriage when we couldn't keep our hands off each other, when we totally ignored each other's faults and thought we were the best thing on earth for each other. Okay, now you'll find something to be thankful for. Amen? All right? So as you practice gratitude, then you're shifting the atmosphere in your marriage. Now, there are a few habits that are word-related. You know, you get into the word. But the next one I want to share with you is the power of praying together. Earlier on in the service, I quoted that verse from Matthew 18, 19 about the power of praying in agreement. And friends, do you know how much power there is when a husband and wife pray together? Now, I'm not going to ask you to put up hands. How many of you actually pray together? Because I know the answer. Not too many hands will go up. Surveys have shown that 92% of Christian married couples do not pray together. They pray on their own. And if you're not praying together, you're missing out on one of the greatest blessings of marriage. Because that verse, Matthew 18, 19, about the power of two people agreeing and the Father in heaven granting what was agreed on, that happens in marriage as well. And not just in a church gathering, when we are in a prayer group, when we come into agreement. And so, and sometimes we've heard couples say, well, you know, I'm okay praying on my own, but I can't pray out loud. I'm just a little shy. Well, you're not shy with your husband about other things or your wife about other things. Why are you shy when it comes to prayer? Well, let's give you some help. You know what you wrote down in your gratitude journal? I thank you, God, for blah, blah, blah. Okay, get together, hold hands, and read out what you wrote in your journal that day. And say, in Jesus' name, amen. Now you started praying together. And then move on to some of the needs that you have for your children, for your finances, for your health, for other people's health, and so on. And you know what? That will actually make a huge difference. Okay, there's a lot more I can do, but I'm going to skip all the other habits. And, you know, you can always get that from the book, you know, whether here or online. There's one more thing the Lord wanted me to just share with you today. And that is one of the toxins that pollutes the atmosphere and prevents the powerful move of the Holy Spirit and blocks the blessings that are rightfully ours from flowing into our lives is our unforgiveness. And we are shocked when couples come to us. They've been married for, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, whatever it may be, and some of them have been holding on to a grudge for decades. They could not get themselves to forgive each other. Well, I really haven't felt like forgiving. That still hurts. And, you know, as long as it's hurting, I can't forgive. Okay. I want to tell you something, first of all. If you're a follower of Jesus, forgiveness is not an option. Hello? That amen was very weak, by the way. Okay? When you're a follower of Jesus, forgiveness is not an option. Forgiveness is a command. You know, you forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In other words, forgiveness is something very normal for the Christian, for the follower of Jesus. Okay? And sometimes, you know, we find it difficult to forgive somebody outside our family than in our family. Now, I can do a lot of teaching on forgiveness, but I'm just going to focus on one particular verse. In Matthew 18, 21 to 35, Jesus tells this parable about a man who was forgiven a huge load of debt, but then he refuses to forgive somebody he owed him mere pittance, a very, very small fraction of what he owed, what was just written off for him. And Jesus makes this statement in verse 34 and 35 that when the master found out that this man refused to forgive or the debts of those who owed him very little, he said, hand him over to the torturers. And then he says in verse 35, and my Father in heaven will do the same to you if you do not forgive one another from your heart. Now, isn't that a scary thought? That God will allow us to experience torture and torment if we do not forgive others from our heart. And I, so this is what I just want to very quickly unpack in the next 5 minutes, and then we'll pray, right? So what does it mean to forgive from your heart? With the short explanation is that we forgive someone not only for what they did or said, but also for the effects of the hurt they inflicted upon us. And friends, God made us spirit beings with a soul and a body. The soul is the mind, will, and emotions. And so a lot of times, our hurt resides in our soul, which means mind, memories, emotions. You know, we may have either overly expressed our emotions, or sometimes we suppress them. And when you suppress your emotions, you know what happens? Every once in a while, some of it will leak out. It's called passive-aggressive behavior. Honey, can you get me a coffee? Go get it yourself. Ooh, where did that come from? Yesterday you asked me to do something and I didn't do it for you. See, that's what I mean. The effects of that hurt upon ourselves, and sometimes it can even affect your body. Some of the hurts that people inflict to us, maybe they don't have to be physical blows, but it affects our sleep. You know, it causes headaches. You know, or you're brooding over something, your blood pressure goes up, there's physical symptoms that also come with the hurts that we experience. And so when we forgive, if we would take some time and ask the Holy Spirit to show us the effects of that hurt upon us, and then forgive wholeheartedly with all our heart, now we're doing what Jesus wants us to do. Now we are sparing ourselves torture and torment. Now, there's one additional thing that happens when we are hurt. The enemy knows that we're vulnerable to believe something that is either a half-truth or a lie when we are hurt that we would not normally believe otherwise. So for example, young woman has been dating somebody for quite some time. She feels like, oh, we're getting close to getting engaged. And getting married, I can see myself spending the rest of my life, you know, with this man, and then he breaks up unexpectedly. No, can't go through with it. Sorry, and that's it. And all of a sudden she's like stunned. My goodness, what happened? And all of a sudden the enemy brings to her mind, hey, didn't this happen once before, where you thought you were getting serious with somebody, and then the guy dumped you too? Yeah, you know, honey, you can't hold a relationship together. Maybe you're not that attractive like you think you are. Men, they can be trusted. They'll woo you, use you, and then dump you. So why don't you just use them instead? Now, under normal circumstances, this young woman who has some values and morals and, you know, is a follower of Jesus would reject that as an outright lie. But in that moment of vulnerability, it has an element of truth in her mind, and all of a sudden, yeah, that's true. This has happened to me. And she begins to swallow the lie and then live out of it. And out of the lies, you know what we often do? We end up making ungodly vows. I will never let another man get that close to me because I don't want to go through this heartbreak anymore. I will always put a guard around me. And so when you believe the lies and make those ungodly vows, then the one that is her ideal husband may actually be right in front of her, and she will not allow him to get close to her. See, God brought that guy there so that she could meet and they could have a great life together, but because of what she has believed and the vow she made, she will not allow that to happen. So when we experience, or when we examine the hurts that we have experienced, the hurts in our heart, then we need to include the lies that we may have believed as well. So, Rohan, you can put the next slide up. So I want us to move into a time right now of the Holy Spirit ministering, the one with the four things on it, Rohan, the next one, I believe. Where are we? Sorry, can you go back up? It's about the third slide from the bottom. It'll say forgiving. Go back up one more. Sorry. You know what? It's towards the end, at the bottom of the deck. You'll find it, okay? So ASCII is looking for the slide and putting it up on there. I'm inviting all of you just to close your eyes right now. And if we can't find the slide, I'll just lead you through it. Yeah, Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence here. And Lord, you search our hearts. And so we give you permission to do that right now. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, so strong. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just ask the Holy Spirit this very simple question. Lord, who do I need to forgive right now? And the Lord will give you a name, or show you a face, or bring to mind a memory. If the name or the face that showed up is somebody that you believe you've already forgiven, I believe the Lord is saying to you, I'm inviting you today to forgive them from your heart in a way that you may not have forgiven before. The other sad fact of life is some people hurt us repeatedly. It happens within marriages. It happens in families. It happens in the workplace very regularly. The same hurt by the same people. And that's why Jesus had to say that you forgive not just 7 times, but 70 times 7. And with family, sometimes we cannot stop at 490. And today the Lord is inviting you to forgive the one that he showed you, the one that kind of jumped the queue and came all the way to the top, that one from the heart. So I'm going to lead you through that process. So now that you've identified who that person is that you need to forgive, just ask the Lord to bring to you some of the emotions that you have experienced as a result of that hurt, some feelings that still remain. If you think of somebody's name that the Lord brought to you and you feel some kind of negative emotion, then that means there's a little bit more healing that needs to be done. And then ask the Holy Spirit, what effects, if any, did this hurt have on my body? Are there physical symptoms that you are experiencing as a result? And then ask him this question. What lies have I been believing as a result of this hurt? Sometimes the lie is all men are. All people from this country are. All people of this particular group, this part of town, all those kind of things. What lies have I been believing as a result? And then ask him to show you, what responses have I made? Are there any vows that I have made? Now take what the Holy Spirit has given you and let me lead you in a prayer. And so bring that person's name before the Lord and say, I give you the gift of my forgiveness. You can repeat after me gently or just within yourself, it doesn't matter. I give you the gift of my forgiveness. You owe me nothing. I choose to forgive you for what they did, what they said. Just let that go. And then pray, I choose to forgive you for all the effects of your hurt upon me. And then pray, I renounce the lies I believed and the inner vows I made. I repent of all ungodly responses I have made to the way you hurt me. Thank you, Father, for setting me free from all the effects of this hurt in every part of my being. And now Jesus wants you to do one more thing and pray this. I ask you now to bless this person, mention their name, with what they need right now. Whatever the Holy Spirit brings to your mind, bless them. Because Jesus said you have to bless those who curse you. Pray for those who persecute you. That's what we're doing right now. So bless them. You know, I don't know about you, but I feel like the presence of the Lord was increasing in this place when we started to release, when we started to forgive from the heart. Not only will you personally notice the change, but as a church family, you have paved the way for the Holy Spirit to move in even greater freedom than he already is. And so, Lord, we thank you. Can you all stand up? Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are good. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that whenever we ask the Father for you, you come. And Father, we thank you that you give him to us every time we ask, as Jesus promised in Luke 11:13. And so we thank you for the way in which you have been moving. We thank you for doing only what you can do, and that is to convict our hearts. And so we thank you for moving in so many ways today, in healing, in prophecy, and now in conviction. And Lord, we thank you for bringing freedom, because where the Spirit is, Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. We receive that freedom right now. And we thank you, Lord, that we can now walk in that freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Dwayne.
Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're hoping to get this couple back to us in the fall to do a marriage seminar. But it was a blessing that they were able to come today and just be able to share some of the things that God has laid in their heart. Thank you for being here, and I pray that those things minister to you. You practice those things, and we'll all do better, right? And so bless you. Thank you for coming to the house of the Lord today. Feel free to have some fellowship where you are or out in the foyer. It's been a pleasure to have you today. God bless you all.